Hi, this is Guy Smith, the pastor of One Life Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to this message. You know, all the messages that we create and really everything that we do at One Life Church is about fulfilling what we have as a biblical mission to make and guide fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. My prayer and our prayer as a church is that as you tune into this message, that you will be blessed and your faith will grow and that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and guide you towards a deeper faith and a greater mission for the cause of Christ. Enjoy.
Father God, we thank you so much for this glorious day that you sent your son to come into the world and just really change history and give us an opportunity and begin the path towards salvation on his journey to the cross to die for our sins. Lord, we thank you as we celebrate Christmas and this time together. We pray, Lord, truly that this year, even through the busyness or even through the familiarity of the story for many of us, we pray, Lord, that you will show us something new and exciting, some new truths that we can dig out of your scripture and apply them to our deeper and ever-growing, we pray, faith in your son. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you all the glory. In your holy name, amen. So, we've been working through this series called Fresh Eyes, Seeing Christmas in a New Light. And my hope and my prayer with this is knowing that many of us, not all of us, have heard the story of Christmas many, 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 many times. Like if you've been wired in church for most of your life, you've heard, I mean, maybe you've heard 20 sermons on Christmas or 30 sermons or 30 years worth of messages, and you've gone to Christmas plays and you've watched Christmas movies and you hear all of these things from the story, but a lot of times when we hear a story over and over and over again, we kind of miss some of the details and we grow a little numb to it and maybe even take it for granted, right? But we want to be excited about what Jesus has done this year because we are who we are and we have connection with God. We have salvation. We are saved from damnation because of what God did when he sent Jesus. So we celebrate that this year. So as we look at the story, I hope that we can point out, my plan as we have worked through this is to kind of point out some different nuances and bring out some truths, that some hidden gems of truths that God has put in there that can benefit us and grow us in our faith. So Fresh Eyes, week number 3, Show Me a Sign, and tomorrow night we're going to wrap up the series at the Christmas Eve service. So to kind of get us started, if you think back with me to when you were a kid, think back. So a couple years ago, what was life like when you were a kid? What was Christmas like? What were the questions that you ask at Christmas? What questions did you have at Christmas? Now, a lot of times we have the normal things, right? Like, what am I going to get for Christmas? Am I going to get what I ask for Christmas? Am I going to be on the nice list or the naughty list? Is Santa really going to be able to find our house? And how does he bring presents if we don't have a chimney? Like, all these questions, how does he pull this off? All these things, these questions that we have about Christmas as kids. Like, am I on the naughty list so I'm going to get the lump of coal in the bottom of my stocking? Or, you know, is grandma going to give me socks again? Or is she going to show up with a toy? Like, what's going to happen at Christmas? One of the weird little questions that my family, for a few years span in my childhood, we had this, I don't even know where it came from, but it's probably some kind of a giveaway. We had this like orange soft Kohler bag with the Tide logo on the front of it. So it was probably like a free giveaway, right? So it's just like a Tide Kohler bag. And we did this thing in my family. I don't know why this happened, but we just kind of started wrapping it up every year, and somebody would get the Tide Kohler bag for Christmas. You didn't know who was going to get it. You didn't know what package it was going to be in. You didn't know where it would end up for the year. I don't actually know where it's at today, but we'd get together for gift exchange, and the big question was, who's going to get the Tide bag, right? Like, this is exciting stuff. But we enjoyed that. And it's a very simple kind of question that I had as I was growing up. But we ask these questions and very superficial, very all about me kind of questions when we're kids at Christmas. Now, when we get older, so when we grow up, we still have questions, right? We still have questions, but the questions kind of shift a little bit. They shift a little bit, and the questions are a little bit less about what's under the tree and a little bit more about how am I going to pay for that, right? Or is he going to like it? Is she going to be glad that I chose that for her? And then it gets even bigger than that. They grow bigger than that. And at Christmas time, we think, do I really even believe in this whole Jesus thing? Like, what's that about? Why did he come if he really did come? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Is this, even though I'm doing well in life, is this really as good as it gets? Is this really all I have to look forward to in my life and in my existence? Is this the story? If there really is a God, why do I feel the way I do? Why does Christmas feel hopeless this year? Why can't I get in the Christmas spirit? What am I missing on this? So as adults, we kind of view Christmas a little differently, right? We still have questions, but we ask different questions. And in one of the ways that we kind of start to understand Christmas a little differently is we kind of get excited about the giving instead of the getting. You know, I hope maybe you can kind of get to that place where you're not like sitting there kind of running down like all excited, like, what'd you get me? What'd you get me? Instead, you're like, oh, I really hope she loves this. I can't wait for her to open this. And then you ever have that moment where your spouse or your parents or a sibling opens up the gift and you're just like, you can tell right away, like, I blew it, right? That ever happened? Or like whenever you're opening a gift, you're like, hey, I got to get my smile ready. No matter what's in this package, I'm going to love it. Right? So right after I got married, our first Christmas together, I totally blew it this first year. What does my wife want for Christmas? How can I make her happy? Like, I want her to be like, oh, I'm so glad I married him because he's good at giving Christmas gifts, right? Like, I want that. I kind of consider myself a good card giver, if you will. Like, I like to go to the Hallmark aisle and I like to take my time and think, visualize the person and visualize what the situation is and how excited they'll be in the moment. And you see the right card and it's just fireworks, right? You're like, this is the one, right? Like, I feel like cards I can do, but when it comes to gifts, kind of find myself blowing it a lot, right? So here's what happened. Our first Christmas, I was like, you know, I'm going to hook my wife up with something really awesome. So I had this certain amount of money that I had left to get, and I started shopping online, and I found what my wife and I, we call it a swoodie. You guys know what a swoodie is? I was like, I'm wearing a hoodie right now. Imagine this was a sweater. So a hoodie is a sweater with a hood. So we call it a swoodie. So I wore swoodies when I took them to Goodwill. My mom was so excited, but to finally get rid of the swoodies. You know, I like that. But I've getting online. I found the perfect swoodie for my wife. It was on this website, and this Asian girl was wearing it so well. And I just thought my wife would look. I'm visualizing them like my wife would look awesome in that. So it's one size fits all rainbow swoodie. And I get online and I ordered it up. And as soon as I ordered, oh man, that's not coming for 30 days. Because it was coming all by itself on a little rowboat from China. Right? Ridiculous. So it actually said that estimated delivery date was like December 27th. And so I'm like, fingers crossed all month long. And I keep telling them, am I going to have this gift? And I was like, this is coming, I promise. I'm so excited. And then when we get to Christmas, showed up like just in time. Like the UPS guy's, hey, I'm going home for Christmas. I thought I'd drop this off. Like here, you know, just in time. And so I wrap it up and I put it under the tree. And my wife looks at it and she's like, so this is the one, right? She opens that thing up. And the look on her face was instantly, it was like, I knew that I had totally blown it. And she opens that thing up and she's like, wow, right? So this is what you were waiting for. Yeah. So she does, after a little bit of begging, she put it on. And it wasn't right. Like, it was just clearly, I was like, okay, so I bombed it. Like, this is not your style. It doesn't really hang on you very well. Like, it just didn't work. So on the way to her mom's, we stopped and dropped it off at Goodwill, right? So, but my point is, right, we all make mistakes, but we all have these anticipations of giving gifts, and we want to do it well, we want to do it right, but that's kind of the big, one of the big, like, practical, real-world questions that we have is, what do they want? How can I make their Christmas good, right? So we ask questions, small questions, practical, real-life questions, and even big questions. So today's text, today's passage that we're going to look at today is in Matthew chapter 2. And I want to, if you open your Bibles up to chapter 2, we're going to read four verses here in a couple minutes. And I want to talk to you about a group of people that asked questions. And I want to invite you to ask questions. Because sometimes in church, in Christianity, and Christmas time, Easter time, sometimes we get in this bad, really unhealthy habit of, well, I'm not allowed to ask questions. I'm just supposed to do what the preacher says, the Bible says, and believe it blindly, right? But we all have questions, even this time of year, even when we're in church at Christmas. So last week we talked about seeing Christmas through the eyes of Mary. Last week was shepherds, the week before was Mary. And this week I want to talk to you about a group of people that found Jesus after seeking questions. Now this is a group of people that you've probably heard of. Sometimes they're referred to as the Magi. Sometimes they're referred to as the wise men. I'm probably more likely going to say wise men, but you can say magi as well. So here's my first question for you. I want to hit real quick so some things that we think we know, but biblically we don't really know. So what do we know about these visitors? What do we know about the wise men? See, a few years ago, I was reading through the Gospels. And I've in my whole life, right, we sing these Christmas songs, we go to these Christmas plays, and we see these nativity scenes. Sometimes if you ever go to the live nativity scenes, there's all these things that are at play that you expect to be the same every time. And until you read the Bible, you just expect that the way they're displaying it is what the Bible says. But I was reading through the Bible several years ago, and I was like, wait, there's really not that many details in here. Why is it always like this if that doesn't just say that? So here's my question for you. Pop quiz, okay? How many wise men were there? Just shout it out. How many? Three wise men. That's what we always see, right? We three kings of Orient, right? We always see that. Well, let me bust your first bubble. It's not true. We have no idea how many wise men there were. We have no idea. But we do the three, and that's kind of tradition that has grown, and that's kind of grown really out of the habit of saying that, understanding that they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So because of that, church tradition has built up, well, there were three. They just each brought one, right? Just a nice, nice little cup of their gift, right? And so that's just kind of what we built up out of that. What else do we not know? Well, we actually don't know where they're from. They're from somewhere in the east. So we think sometimes people talk about that they might know, but we don't really know. And a lot of biblical scholars, some will say Persia, some will say Yemen, India, Babylon. Some will even say as far away as China. But the point is, we're not 100% sure. Were they kings? Were they kings? We three kings of Orient are. See, the truth is that when you get into scripture, maybe. We don't really know. Were they kings or were they something else? The best evidence suggests that they were actually more likely astrologers, probably members of this priestly religious class in Persia called the Magi, which means skilled magicians or astrologers. But in other words, just to kind of set that point up, that the other words, the understanding is, what's interesting and what's important is that they were interested in the supernatural and they were interested in looking to the stars for answers. They were looking for a sign. They were looking for an answer to understand the meaning of life. That's what we do know. There's all these things we think we know, but what we really do know about the wise men is that they were looking for an answer and looking for meaning in life in the stars. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you do that. Maybe you check your horoscope every now and again, even if you don't, even if you know that it's just recreation, it's just for fun, you know that it's not like inspired, it's not specific to you, but maybe you still just can't help it. You're just like, I gotta read this, I gotta see what's happening. So you kind of see that looking for signs in the stars, or maybe at some point in your life you've gone to somebody because you're trying to figure out the meaning of life, the direction of your life. Maybe you've gone to a palm reader or somebody with, I don't know if people actually do this, but like the Wizard of Oz crystal balls, right? Like, and, you know, you kind of massage it and speak to it and it turns like the smokes inside and then you see a picture, right? Like, I watch a lot of kids' movies, but... Or maybe you're a reader and you've read a lot of books about like Christianity or other religions or spirituality or whatever it might be. But what if at this point, so you're asking questions, at this point you just want somebody to answer the question once and for all, why are we even here on the earth? If you can relate to that struggle, if you've ever asked that question, you can relate to the wise men. Because that's what they're doing. They're searching for an answer, searching for some meaning in their life. So here's the text for today. If you opened your Bibles to Matthew 2, if you brought that along, and even though we put it on the screen, it really warms my heart when I see someone open their Bible. Right? So you guys do you. I'll put it on the screen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Jump ahead to verses 9 and 10. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, did you catch all that? See, they were looking into the sky for a sign. And when they saw a sign that was apparently so convincing and so abnormal and so out there and so directive, so clear, so much clarity that there's some significance. This isn't just another star. There was so much significance there that when they saw this sign, they followed it. Questions, right? We all have questions. You have questions about God. There's an entire website dedicated to it called gotquestions.org. It's all about your questions about God and the Bible. Our questions as humanity about God and the Bible. Maybe one of the big questions, maybe one of your big questions is, why is there so much suffering in the world if God is so good? You tell me God is good, but why is there suffering? Maybe you wonder about the whole creation versus science thing, and you've been struggling with that and battling with that. Maybe you go to school, go to college, and fight with your professors or things like that. Or maybe just, why are there so many religions and which one should I follow? Why? Which one really is true? What's the answer? What's the meaning of that? Now, there's pretty good evidence that from where the Magi came from, they probably didn't know the God of the Bible. They didn't know the God that Joseph and Mary knew. They probably hadn't heard of the God of the Old Testament. Had any idea of what Jesus was going to do and what he was going to teach, but they had questions about life and eternity and about God and about themselves. And I think we all get to that at some point or another, right? Like, I've been at that place where I just walk around town praying and trying to figure out, God, what is the point of all this? Are you really there? Are you really real? We all have these questions, and their questions, The wise men's questions were intense enough that they would travel hundreds, if not thousands, of miles to investigate the answers. So let me ask you guys about your questions so you can ask yourself your questions. Do you ever wonder? Now, so the big question, right? One of the biggest questions when people use an excuse to say, oh, I don't believe in God. One of the biggest questions is, why is there so much suffering in the world? Well, do you ever wonder what it would take to get an emotionally and intellectually satisfying answer to that question? What would it take to get that answer? Could anyone ever say anything powerful enough and convincing enough that it would settle that question once and for all? Think about it. Could anybody ever give you a definitive answer to that question and you say, all right, I'm good. All right, I'm moving forward. And even if you have that answer, would it change anything? Does it really stop the suffering and the pain in this world just because you know why, right? Is it going to change anything? So here's a question for all of us who have questions. What if the answer to your deepest question isn't an answer, is a person? This Christmas, I ask you that back. What if the answer to your deepest, most mind-boggling, most kind of like stuck in the mud, kind of paralyzed, can't move, don't know what I'm going to decide, don't know where my heart really needs to be. What if the answer to your question isn't an answer, but it's a person? What if what you really need is a person? Because when the wise men sought the sign and followed the star, they got to a person. They found Jesus right there with them. See, at a very young age, a lot of times what we think we need is a perfect answer. But from a very young age, we learn that what we really need is people. We need people. We need a person, right? So when you're 5 years old and you fall down and you skin your knee, you don't need somebody to walk over and say, yeah, that'll heal up. Or I've done that before. Or that sidewalk's out to get you. Now, what do you want? You need your mom or your dad or your grandma to come over and wrap their arms around. You need a person. Or when you're 8 years old and you get snubbed by friends at school and you feel bad and you go home, you need, you know, maybe you need grandma to bust out some cookies and milk and say, it's gonna be okay. And just you need somebody to walk with you. When we have stress, even as adults, when we have seasons of loss and pain in our life, chances are you're looking for a little bit more than a good quote on the internet. You're looking for a person to walk into the room and make you feel better just with their presence. We need people. We need people. Back in 2011, whenever I wrecked my motorcycle in southern Butler County and I found myself in Allegheny General Hospital and I'm sitting there getting all bandaged up. The doctors were great. The doctors were helpful. Thank God for the doctors, but you know the moment when I felt like everything is going to be okay? Two moments. One is when my parents answered the phone and said, we're coming. And two is when they walked into the room and I knew it was going to be okay. I needed people. What if the same is true of God and true of our questions that we ask of God? See, what if we need the best resolve for our answer, for our questions, is to find God? Let me give you a quick paradox, if you will, for if you get the answer that we need of God. So these guys are seeking God and they're looking for their answer. So there's this great preacher and author by the name of Fred Buechner who imagines God intervening into the universe in a supernatural way to take care of all the questions, okay? Right? Like all the arguing, all the fighting, let's just get it done. Like here it is. So here's what he writes. Here's what Frederick Buechner writes. Suppose for an instance, that God were to take the great dim river of the Milky Way as we see it from down here flowing across the night sky and were to brighten it up a little and then rearrange it so that all of a sudden one night the world would step outside and look up at the heavens and see not the usual haphazard scattering of stars, written out in letters light years tall, the sentence, "I really exist," or "God is." Imagine that. Everyone in the world step outside and look up at the sky and see something that there is no possible way that a human could fly up there in a rocket ship and create. Imagine that. See, imagine God arranging the sky. He goes on to talk about the ways that that would engender both deep regret in humanity, but also this profound hope. And we'd have preachers on every street corner screaming, "I was right all along, right? I told you guys. You believe in the wrong people. I told you." And you know, churches would overflow like football stadiums because there would be no more doubt that God exists, right? Like, it's clear. Like, he wrote it in the sky. He's doing it every night in a different way. There's no more fighting. There's no more arguing. It's done, right? How do we argue with God writing his name in the sky? Definitive answer, right? But Buechner goes on to write, as he imagines that at some point, perhaps a small child with some bubblegum in his cheek would turn to his father with this crazy courage of childhood and utter the words that would make angels gasp. "So what if God exists? What difference does it really make to my life? And in the twinkle of an eye, the message would no longer make a difference. Proof or not, we would turn away because we all want proof. But Buechner argues that with this story that proof in the stars is not the kind of assurance that we need after all. After all, the Bible says that we have that a non-believer has no excuse for not believing because we can see God screaming at us in creation alone. And this is taking it up a notch and saying, my name is written in the sky. What we need to know is not just that God exists amidst the stars, but that there is a God right here in the thick and thin of our day-to-day life, right? We need to know that God is present, not writing messages in the heavens, but that he is sending his messengers into our lives and showing the blind how to see and working in the deep muck and the misery and the pain of this world. See, that's the answer that the wise men found that night. They were looking for an answer in the stars, and instead they pop in and they find laying in a crib in a barn a baby who would be the savior of the world. They found a God who was not in the sky looking down and just spinning the world and sending everybody out to see what happens and see who crashes into each other, but instead he is present. They found a person, they found Jesus, they found God with us, ready and willing to walk with us and show us life. Maybe that's the answer that you need right now. Maybe you don't just need another quote or another genius telling you that God exists. Maybe you need to know that God is with us, that God is here, that God is present, and that God loves you, that God is with you in the heartbreak, that God is with you in the breakup, that God is with you in the mess of your family this Christmas, that God is with you in sadness, and he's with you when you're trying to make sense out of the success that you've had or the failure that you've had or the purpose of your whole life and maybe the strangeness of love or the challenges that you face, that you need to know that God is with you like the wise men found, that he's with you, he's present, he's walking with you and he makes himself known to you, that he's not an idea, he's not a sign, not even just an answer, but he's something better. It's God with you, walking with you, taking on life with you, knowing what's going to happen in 2019 better than you could ask and want to know. He knows what's there and he's going to be there waiting for you. That God is with you. So my hope today is that if you have questions, if you are seeking, if you get to Christmas and you're like, well, I really like Santa Claus and I like reindeer and I like presents and I like elves and I like Christmas trees and Christmas lights, but the whole reason for the season, the Jesus part behind it, I just can't quite get there. My hope for you today is that you would realize and open your heart to the fact and the truth that God sent his son into our world to be the person and the Savior that we need, the person of Jesus Christ. And I would love for you to respond to that today if you never have or need to make that decision that you want to be with him. Because he didn't just come to the earth to come to the earth and prove us that God exists. He came for us. He came for the wise men. He came for Mary. He came for Joseph. And he came for you. And he loves you. So if you've never embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior, why not make today the day that you admit your sins and your shortcomings and believe in Jesus and commit your life to him? He's never going to find the satisfying answer outside of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist. Nothing else will take you past the grave into anything worth experiencing. Now here's a cool capper for you to twist it off. So these wise men, not Jewish, not Christian, they were magicians maybe, astrologers probably. They showed up not knowing anything, looking for an answer, but you won't find this in the Bible, but church history tells us that these men, however many there may have been, were so taken by this Jesus that they found and by the life that he lived, and they watched him grow up and then live an exemplary life and die on the cross and rise again, that these men became followers of Christ. That it wasn't just a one and done moment that we read about in the Bible, but they sought an answer and they found a person and they devoted their lives to him. Now that is a glorious day, and that is a glorious truth. So today, God extends that invitation to you to bow your knee to him, to know that you are not alone, to know that God is with you in everything that you face, to know that when God sent the person of Jesus Christ, all God, all man, to live a perfect life and die a sinner's death, he did that because he wants to be with you. He did that because he wants a relationship with you. And that's the beauty of seeing Christmas in a new light. Because this can be the year that Christmas is more than decorations and Christmas songs, but that it's truly seeing Jesus and his birth for what it meant to the world. That God is with you. So won't you bow your heads in prayer with me as the worship team comes to sing us out. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you so much for the truth that these men were seeking meaningfulness in life. And you led them to your son. I pray, Lord, today that if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that this will be the day that they admit their sin and confess it to you and accept you as Lord and Savior of their life. That this be a day that we repent, that we turn from our sin, we lay it down and say, I've had it with this. I'm ready to serve my Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you in your holy name. Amen.